What happens when the perfect disguise is betrayed by the one thing you cannot hide? A ruined heiress scrubbing floors, a scarred duke hiding in the dark, and a secret that unravels with a single breath. This is a story of betrayal, revenge, and a scent that changed history. In the bitter winter of 1879, the British aristocratic circle was still reeling from the catastrophic collapse of the City of Glasgow Bank. The financial ruin swallowed hundreds of noble families whole, but none fell quite as tragically as the Montgomerys. Arthur Montgomery, a brilliant financier and beloved patriarch, was found dead in his study, with a single gunshot wound to the chest, leaving behind a mountain of fabricated debt and a family stripped of their honour. The official historical record claimed Arthur took his own life out of guilt, having embezzled millions from his peers. But his daughter Vivian Montgomery knew the truth. Her father had been framed. The real architect of the fraud was Lord Reginald Cavendish, a ruthless titan of industry who had doctored the ledgers to shift the blame. Stripped of her estate, her title, and her future, Vivian did not flee to France with her destitute mother as society expected. Instead, she vanished into the smog-choked streets of London, shedding the silks of a high-born lady for the coarse, scratchy wool of a servant. She changed her name to Mary, dirtied her face with hearth ash, and secured a position as a scullery maid at the most isolated estate in Yorkshire Ashbourne Abbey. Ashbourne Abbey was the ancestral seat of the Cavendish family, currently occupied by Lord Reginald's nephew, Alastair Cavendish, the Duke of Ashbourne. Alastair was known in whispered, terrified tones as the Cursed Duke. 2 years prior, a horrific carriage accident in the Swiss Alps had claimed the life of his fiancée and left him with severe, agonizing photophobia, an extreme intolerance to light, as well as rumors of gruesome facial scarring. He retreated to the abbey, plunging the entire West Wing into absolute perpetual darkness. He dismissed most of his staff prone to violent erratic outbursts if even a single sliver of sunlight pierced his heavy velvet curtains. Vivian now, Mary, had not come to Ashbourne to serve. She had come to steal. She knew that Lord Reginald kept his encrypted, undoctored financial ledgers in the Duke's impenetrable private library, trusting the mad, blind Duke to unwittingly guard the very documents that could clear Arthur Montgomery's name. For 3 grueling months, Vivian played her part perfectly. Her hands, once soft and perfectly manicured for playing the grand pianoforte, became cracked, blistered, and raw from lye soap and freezing scrubbing water. She kept her head down, spoke in a hushed, deferential whisper, and endured the harsh reprimands of the estate's unforgiving housekeeper, Mrs. Gable. No one suspected that the quiet, unremarkable girl hauling coal up the servants' stairs was the former darling of the London season. She had successfully erased every trace of Vivian Montgomery, except for one. Before the ruin, Vivienne's mother, Cécile, a woman of French descent, had commissioned a bespoke perfume from Pierre-François Pascal Guerlain in Paris. It was an exclusive, heavily guarded formula that belonged only to the Montgomery women. It was not a sweet, cloying floral. It was a complex, haunting blend of white iris deep vetiver and a sharp, earthy hit of crushed cedar. When the bailiffs had seized their estate, Vivian had managed to smuggle out a single tiny glass vial of the perfume, wearing it on a leather cord beneath her corset. The glass had cracked slightly during her arduous journey north, and a few drops had soaked into her skin, permanently binding with her natural chemistry. No amount of harsh lye soap or kitchen grease could fully wash it away. It lingered beneath the scent of wood smoke and sweat, a phantom fragrance of immense wealth hidden beneath the rags of a scullery maid. Vivian thought nothing of it. In the bustling, pungent kitchens of Ashbourne, filled with roasting meats, boiling cabbage, and unwashed bodies No one possessed a nose refined enough to detect a Parisian master perfumer's work. Her opportunity finally arrived in late November. The maid assigned to clean the Duke's darkened west wing, a nervous girl named Sarah, fled the estate in the middle of the night after claiming she felt the Duke breathing on her neck in the pitch black. Desperate, Mrs. Gable shoved a feather duster and a bucket into Vivian's hands. "You will clean the west wing?" Mrs. Gable ordered, her voice trembling slightly. "You will go only at midnight. You will carry no lantern, no candle, no matches. You will not speak. If you hear him, you freeze, and you do not look at him. Do you understand, Mary? If you bring light into his chambers, he will throw you from the highest window." Vivian nodded, casting her eyes downward. "Yes, ma'am." Internally, her heart pounded with a fierce, triumphant rhythm. She had finally crossed the threshold. The ledger was within her grasp. The west wing of Ashbourne Abbey was a tomb. As Vivian slipped through the heavy oak doors, the silence was so absolute it made her ears ring. Thick, double-layered velvet drapes swallowed the moonlight, plunging the vast corridors and chambers into an inky, suffocating blackness. For the first week, Vivian did her work meticulously. She memorized the layout of the Duke's private study by touch. She learned the exact placement of the grand mahogany desk, the leather armchairs, and the towering bookcases that stretched to the vaulted ceiling. She dragged her rag over the surfaces, but her mind was entirely focused on running her fingertips along the edges of the desk drawers, searching for a false bottom or a hidden lock. She never saw Alistair Cavendish. Sometimes she heard him, the faint rustle of heavy silk robes, the soft clinking of ice in a crystal glass, the slow rhythmic pacing of heavy boots in an adjoining room. Whenever she heard the sounds, she obeyed Mrs. Gable's rule. She froze, holding her breath until the footsteps faded. The man was a ghost, haunting his own life, entirely consumed by the darkness. By the second week, Vivian's patience was wearing dangerously thin. Lord Reginald was scheduled to visit Ashbourne for the Christmas holiday, meaning she had less than a month to find the ledger and escape. On a stormy Tuesday night, the wind howled fiercely against the stone walls of the abbey, rattling the window panes. The violent thunder served as the perfect cover. Vivian slipped into the Duke's study, abandoning her cleaning supplies by the door. She moved directly to the grand bookcases. She had spent the last 3 nights meticulously feeling the spines of hundreds of books, searching for the red leather binding her father had once described. She ran her blistered hands over the bottom shelf. Nothing. She moved to the second. Nothing. Suddenly her fingers brushed against a cold metallic mechanism hidden behind a volume of Shakespeare. A latch. She pressed it, and a small panel sprang open with a soft click. Inside was a stack of heavy-bound papers. Her pulse skyrocketed. She pulled the stack out, but in the pitch black she couldn't verify if it was the financial ledger or simply old estate maps. She needed to see, just for a second. Vivian reached into her apron pocket and pulled out a single sulphur match she had stolen from the kitchens. She knew the rules. She knew the danger. But the thunder outside was deafening, and she was so close to vindicating her dead father. She struck the match against the stone fireplace. A tiny, violent spark of yellow flame hissed into existence, throwing long, monstrous shadows across the room. Vivian held it up, squinting at the cover of the books. Cavendish Holdings, 1877 to 1878. Tears of relief pricked her eyes. She had found it. "Put it out!" The voice came from directly behind her. It was low, raspy, and dangerously calm a voice, like steel dragging over stone. Vivian gasped, her hand trembling violently. She dropped the match on the hearth and stamped it out instantly. The room plunged back into absolute, crushing darkness. The sudden absence of light made her completely blind, but the man behind her was perfectly at home. I beg your pardon, Your Grace, Vivian stammered, forcing a thick, uneducated Yorkshire accent into her voice. I dropped me brush, I did. I couldn't find it in the dark. I meant no harm. She tried to back away, clutching the ledgers against her chest, but a heavy gloved hand shot out in the darkness and slammed flat against the wall, inches from her face. She was trapped between the cold stone of the fireplace and the towering, broad-shouldered frame of the Duke. She couldn't see his face, but she could feel the heat radiating from him. She could hear his slow, measured breathing. A scullery maid. Alastair mused, his voice vibrating in the dark. Who drops her brush, strikes a match, and reads the spine of a financial ledger? Vivian's breath hitched. I can't read, sir. I was only looking for the brush. Alastair leaned in closer. The sheer size of him was intimidating, but it was the calculated stillness of his movements that terrified her. He did not move like a madman. He moved like a predator, perfectly adapted to the night. Because his eyes were useless in the light, his other senses had sharpened into lethal weapons. He lowered his face toward her neck. Vivian froze, her heart hammering frantically against her ribs. She could feel the brush of his breath against her collarbone. He took a slow, deep inhale. Lye soap, Alastair murmured, his voice a dark caress. Wood ash. The smell of the scullery. You play the part well. He stepped even closer, his chest brushing hers. He inhaled again, deeper this time. Vivian squeezed her eyes shut, paralyzed. But beneath it, Alistair's voice dropped an octave, dripping with sudden, dangerous realization. White iris, earthy vetiver, and crushed cedar. Vivian's blood ran cold. That is no ordinary scent, the Duke whispered, his lips inches from her ear. That is not lavender water bought from an apothecary in the village. That is a bespoke creation. Pierre-François Guerlain, Paris, £50 an ounce. He reached up his long fingers, finding her jawline in the dark. His touch was firm, tracing the delicate structure of her cheekbones, feeling the lack of coarse peasant features. He slid his thumb over her trembling lower lip, a scent commissioned exclusively for Cecile Montgomery. Alistair said the name hanging in the dark like an executioner's blade. A scent she passed only to her daughter. He suddenly gripped her wrist, prying the heavy ledgers from her desperate grasp, and tossing them onto the desk with a loud thud. He caged her in completely, his voice dropping to a lethal whisper. You are not Mary the scullery maid. You are Vivian Montgomery, and you have walked right into the devil's den. For a terrifying eternity, the only sound in the suffocating darkness of the study was the ragged rhythm of Vivian's breathing. Alistair's hand remained clamped around her wrist, his grip unyielding like a manacle of iron. She braced herself for him to shout, for the guards to drag her down to the magistrate and see her hanged for thievery, just as his uncle had seen her father ruined. Instead, Alistair released her wrist. The sudden absence of his touch left her skin burning. You have a great deal of courage, Vivian Montgomery. Alistair said, his voice a low, gravelly vibration that seemed to echo from the very stones of the abbey. Or a great deal of foolishness. Did you truly believe Reginald would leave the instrument of his destruction completely unguarded? He left it with you. Vivian spat back, abandoning her Yorkshire accent, her natural aristocratic cadence, clipping her words with aristocratic fury. He left it with the mad, blind nephew he locked away in the dark. A perfect vault. Hand me over, Your Grace. Let your uncle finish the extermination of my family. But know this, the blood of the City of Glasgow Bank is on his hands, not my father's. A low, humorless laugh slipped from the Duke's lips. It was a sound entirely devoid of joy. "Do you think I am my uncle's keeper, Miss Montgomery? Do you think I guard this ledger out of loyalty to the man who slaughtered my future?" Vivian froze. "What are you talking about?" Alistair turned away from her. She heard the heavy rustle of his velvet dressing gown as he moved flawlessly through the pitch black, navigating the room until he stood by the window. 2 years ago in the Swiss Alps, Alistair began his tone deadened by old trauma. "My carriage plunged off a ravine. My fiancée, Lady Catherine, was crushed instantly. I was thrown through the glass, my face torn apart, the optic nerves in my eyes irreparably damaged by the trauma and the blinding glare of the sun on the snow. The world called it a tragic accident. But I dragged myself back up to the road. I saw the splintered axle of the carriage. It had been sawed through. A clean, deliberate cut." Vivian gasped, her hands flying to her mouth. "Reginald needed me dead," Alistair continued softly. "He had already begun embezzling from the bank, fabricating debts to cover his massive losses in the South African diamond mines. If I died, he inherited Ashbourne Abbey, the Cavendish fortune, and the political power to bury his crimes forever. But I survived, disfigured, intolerant to the light. I became a monster to hide from him, to let him think he had won while I waited for a chance to strike back." "The ledger?" Vivian whispered, realization dawning on her. "You stole it from him. I took it from his private London safe 3 months ago, just before he pinned the collapse on your father," Alistair corrected. "I knew it contained the true undoctored accounts, but I miscalculated. The ledger is written in a complex numerical cipher. And worse..." He paused, and for the first time, Vivian heard a tremor of agonizing vulnerability in the fearsome Duke's voice. "I cannot read it. To illuminate the pages enough to decipher the ink requires a lantern. And the light, it is like driving heated needles into my brain. I had the weapon to destroy him, but I have been utterly blind to use it." Silence stretched between them, thick and heavy with unspoken implications. "I can read it," Vivienne said, her voice steadying. "I can break the cipher. My father taught me the banking codes used by the Rothschilds and the Bank of England. I know how Reginald's mind works." She heard Alistair turn back toward her. "If you do this, there is no turning back. Reginald arrives in exactly 3 weeks for the Christmas gala. He is hosting Baron Lionel de Rothschild and Prime Minister Benjamin Disraeli in this very house. He intends to use the gala to secure a massive bailout from the Rothschild Bank by putting my estate up as collateral, declaring me legally unfit to rule Ashbourne. If we fail, he takes the Rothschild money, he takes my home, and you will be sent to the gallows." "Then we will not fail," Vivian said fiercely. Thus began the devil's bargain. For the next 3 weeks, Vivian lived a dual life. By day she was Mary, the wretched scullery maid, scrubbing floors until her knees bled suffering Mrs. Gable's vicious scoldings. But at the stroke of midnight, she ascended to the west wing. In the depths of the study they worked. Alistair allowed her to light a single thick wax candle, placing it inside a tinted glass hurricane lantern, and setting it behind a velvet screen, so that only a faint, ambient glow spilled across the desk. It was just enough light for Vivian to see the numbers, but weak enough that Alistair could sit beside her, his face concealed in the heavy shadows of his armchair. Night after night, their heads bent together over the parchment. The cipher was brutal, utilizing a shifting matrix based on Julian calendar dates. But Vivian was her father's daughter. She worked ruthlessly, translating columns of fabricated debts into Reginald's actual embezzlements. As they worked, the space between them vanished. In the dim golden glow, Vivian caught glimpses of Alistair. The left side of his face was indeed marked by jagged pale scars, but they did not make him a monster. They gave him the rugged, hardened look of a survivor, and he in turn watched her. He watched the fierce intelligence in her eyes, the graceful, aristocratic flick of her wrist as she wrote, and he breathed in that intoxicating secret scent of white iris and cedar. One evening, as she struggled to read a particularly faded line of ink, she leaned too close to the lantern. The glass screen slipped. A harsh beam of light struck Alistair's face. He violently recoiled, a sharp hiss of pain escaping his teeth as he buried his face in his hands. "Alistair, walk out!" Vivian cried out, abandoning the ledger. She slammed the screen back into place, plunging him back into the safety of the shadows. She rushed to his side, dropping to her knees. Without thinking, she reached out her soft, blistering hands, gently gripping his wrists, pulling his hands away from his face. He was trembling, his chest heaving. "It burns," he whispered. "I have you," she murmured, her voice a soothing balm. She kept her hands on his cheeks, tracing the scars with a tenderness that made his breath hitch. "The darkness is back. You are safe." Alistair opened his eyes. In the faint, ambient glow, he looked down at the woman kneeling before him, a ruined heiress in a coarse maid's dress, yet she held more power over him than the Queen of England. Slowly, deliberately, he leaned down and pressed his lips to hers. The kiss was desperate tasting of ash ink and the profound, aching loneliness they had both endured. Vivian kissed him back fiercely, her hand tangling in his dark hair. In the shadows of Ashbourne Abbey, they were no longer a maid and a cursed duke. They were two broken weapons forging themselves into a single blade. By the dawn of December 24th, the ledger was fully decoded. Reginald Cavendish's guilt was undeniable. Now they just had to spring the trap. The grand ballroom of Ashbourne Abbey had not seen such opulence in a decade. 1,000 beeswax candles blazed from the crystal chandeliers, casting a brilliant golden glare over the elite of British society. Liveried footmen carried silver trays of champagne while a string quartet played a lively waltz. Lord Reginald Cavendish stood by the roaring marble fireplace, a smug, aristocratic sneer on his face, as he poured a glass of port for Baron Lionel de Rothschild. "You must understand, Baron," Reginald said, his voice carrying over the music. "My nephew's mind is completely gone. He lives like a bat in the West Wing. It is a tragedy, but the Cavendish estate cannot be left to rot. With your backing, I can assume full conservatorship and ensure Ashbourne remains profitable." Rothschild, a shrewd man with sharp, calculating eyes, sipped his port. "A sad affair, Reginald. But I deal in numbers, not sentiment. If your ledgers are as pristine as you claim, the bank will support you." "They are flawless," Reginald lied smoothly. Suddenly the music faltered. The first violinist lowered his bow, staring toward the grand, sweeping staircase. The other musicians trailed off, and a heavy, suffocating silence fell over the ballroom. Reginald turned an annoyed scowl forming on his face, but the expression instantly evaporated, replaced by blood-draining shock. Descending the staircase was not a servant, it was a ghost. Vivian Montgomery wore a breathtaking gown of midnight blue velvet pulled from the sealed Cavendish vaults. Diamonds glittered at her throat, and her dark hair was swept up in an elegant, intricate style. She moved with the predatory grace of a queen ascending a throne, and as she reached the bottom step, the heat of the room activated her perfume. The unmistakable bespoke scent of white iris vetiver and cedar drifted through the crowd. Whispers erupted like wildfire. "Is that Arthur Montgomery's daughter? I heard she drowned in the Thames." Reginald's face turned a mottled, furious purple. He stepped forward, raising his cane. Guard, seize that woman instantly. She is a fugitive of the crown, the daughter of a convicted embezzler. How did she get in here? Two footmen lunged forward, but Vivian did not flinch. She stood her ground, her chin held high, her eyes locked on Reginald, with lethal calm. I was invited, Lord Reginald, Vivian said, her voice ringing out clear as a silver bell, by the master of this house. I am the master of this house, Reginald roared. You are a guest, a new voice echoed. The heavy oak doors to the west wing, sealed shut for 2 years, screeched open. The crowd gasped, parting like the Red Sea. Stepping out of the darkness and into the blinding, agonizing glare of 1,000 candles was Alistair Cavendish, the Duke of Ashbourne. He wore a pristine, impeccably tailored black evening suit. He wore no mask. The scars on the left side of his face were visible for all to see, a stark map of his survival. But it was not his scars that held the room captive. It was his eyes. He was squinting, clearly, in immense physical pain from the light. Yet he walked with a terrifying, unyielding command. Alistair! Reginald stammered, his cane trembling. Get back to your chambers. The light! The light. Alistair interrupted his voice, a low thunder that rattled the crystal glasses. Is exactly what is needed to eradicate the rot in this family. Alistair walked directly to Baron Rothschild, ignoring the murmuring aristocrats. He reached into his coat and pulled out the heavy red leather ledger, dropping it onto the silver tray in front of the Baron with a deafening crack. Baron Rothschild, Alistair said, fighting the flinch as a chandelier gleamed above him. You deal in numbers. I present to you the true, undoctored accounts of Cavendish Holdings decoded from my uncle's personal cipher by Miss Vivian Montgomery. Reginald lunged forward. It is a forgery, a lie, constructed by a madman and a desperate whore. The cipher key is enclosed on the first page, Vivian stated calmly, stepping to Alistair's side. She gently placed her hand on his arm, a silent anchor in the overwhelming glare. It details the exact transfer of £3 million from the City of Glasgow Bank into Lord Reginald's private diamond ventures in Pretoria. Every missing shilling my father was accused of stealing is documented here in Lord Reginald's own hand. Rothschild adjusted his monocle, picking up the ledger. He flipped through the first few pages, his eyes darting across the decoded columns. The room held its collective breath. Rothschild was the undisputed titan of London finance. His word was absolute law. After an agonizing minute, Rothschild closed the book. He looked at Reginald, his expression entirely devoid of mercy. These numbers match the Glasgow deficit precisely, Rothschild said coldly. He turned to the two armed constables standing by the ballroom doors, who were meant to guard the Prime Minister. Officers, I believe you have your true embezzler. Panic seized Reginald. He spun around looking for an escape, but the footman loyal to the true Duke blocked the exits. He drew a small silver derringer from his waistcoat, pointing it wildly at Alistair. You scarred freak! Reginald screamed. Before he could pull the trigger, Alistair moved with the lethal speed he had honed in the dark. He closed the distance, caught Reginald's wrist and twisted it with a sickening snap. The gun clattered to the marble floor. Reginald collapsed, weeping in pain as the constables dragged him away. The ballroom was in absolute uproar. But Alistair didn't hear it. The adrenaline fading, the sheer burning agony of the chandeliers began to overtake him. He swayed, his eyes sliding shut. Vivian was there instantly. She wrapped her arms around him, her cool hands pressing against his temples. Put out the lights, she shouted to the servants. Extinguish the chandeliers now. Servants scrambled with snuffers. One by one, the grand tiers of candles were extinguished. The blinding glare receded, replaced by the soft, gentle glow of the hearth fire. Alistair sank into a velvet chair, his breathing ragged. Vivian knelt before him, just as she had in the study, uncaring of her silk gown on the floor. "It is over," she whispered, her voice thick with emotion. "My father's name will be cleared. You have your home back." Alistair opened his eyes. The room was dim now, comfortable. He looked at the beautiful, fierce woman who had come to his home as a servant and saved his life. He reached out his thumb, tracing her jawline, brushing over the spot where the scent of white iris and cedar still lingered. "I have my home back," Alistair murmured, leaning forward to press his forehead against hers. "But I find I no longer wish to live in the dark. As long as you are the one holding the lantern." Vivian smiled, a tear slipping down her cheek, and pulled the cursed Duke into the light of a new dawn. What a breathtaking tale of vengeance, brilliant deception, and a love forged in the absolute darkest of places. Vivian's courage to clear her family's name, and Alistair's strength to step into the light, proves that truth can never be buried forever. If you loved this historical romance drama and want more real-life stories of suspense and scandalous high-society secrets, hit that like button, share this video with your friends, and subscribe to our channel for more.